Hello and welcome to the O'Connor Chiropractic Podcast. My name is Pete Edgerton from the local radio station that is Your Harrogate. You can listen to these podcasts at yourharrogate.co.uk or wherever you normally download your podcasts from. Now, we're already on episode 3 here at O'Connor Chiropractic, the Family Wellness Centre on Station Parade in Harrogate. Episode 1, if you missed it, we focused on back to school. So if you are a parent, that could be a good one to rewind back to. In episode 2, we chatted about the effect of poor posture causing tension in our bodies, headaches, migraines, even the effect on libido, that kind of thing. So that was a fascinating listen. And now we're on getting decent sleep with Dr. Jason O'Connor. Sleep is a massive thing. We all, a lot of the time, I think it's underrated, isn't it? A good night's sleep.
Yeah, that's the time when your body heals, recovers. You know, that's when you do most of your healing, and your body's in like a digestive state as well. So it's all kind of linked into our overall well-being. And it's where our brain switches off and we recover mentally as well. So if we're not getting our sleep, so many other things with our health will suffer from it.
So the number of patients that you see here at O'Connor Chiropractic, how big a problem is it? Lack of sleep.
We always, you know, give them a questionnaire about the health, what they struggle with, and one of the most common things that outside of their primary complaint, let's say it's sciatica, neck pain, headaches, back pain, something like that, the secondary one we see most often is poor sleep or sleep problems. But the great thing is, one of the earliest things that we see change in their improvements is their quality and length of sleep. So they usually gets better quite soon. And a lot of it is to do with the state of the nervous system. So when the nervous system is in a tense, stressed state, it's not in the ideal position to go to sleep. Because again, our body's always trying to protect us. So if we feel we're in an environment that's not safe, that we're not gonna go into a deep sleep into that environment because potentially we'd get harmed. So again, we're always hardwired for protection, but it's kind of understanding our physiology, how it's set up, and then how we can work with it to get, you know, a better quality sleep.
So we've talked about in the previous two episodes, subluxation. Just for anybody who's missed it, just give a kind of very brief description of what subluxation is and how it could affect poor sleep.
Well, the word subluxation, sub means below, lux is Latin for light. So what the vertebra, the bones of the spine, that armor that protects the spinal cord, if it comes out of position alignment, it's going to put pressure on those delicate nerves. What's coming through the nerves is electricity. So again, it's going to affect that neural connection. It can alter, distort. The research shows it slows down the messages. So whatever's at the end of it is not going to function as well, whether that's muscles, glands, organs, you know, every cell is impacted by it.
For people listening and thinking, well, I don't sleep that well, but I don't need chiropractic care. I just need to change my pillow. I need to change the mattress, maybe. How much of an effect can that have? How important is it?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the pillows and mattresses are very important. And we do discuss that. But I would say if your spine's not aligned and you've got poor posture, you know, no matter what mattress or pillow you put there, you're not going to get in a good position or sleep very well. So often people are trying to correct a neck problem with a pillow, which will never work. It's about getting that neck healthier and then getting a good pillow that supports it.
So, I mean, these memory foam pillows, do they, you know, if you are having chiropractic care, can they go a long way to helping? Or is it very much people have to find a pillow and a mattress that suits their body?
I always find that the firmer the mattress, the better. Because, yeah, if we just talk about mattresses, and I'll discuss a bit about pillows, but if the mattress is soft, it will bow. And especially if you've got two people in the bed, which and the different weights, you know, there's that old, advert with the hippo and the
yeah,
duck.
That's it. Yeah.
So yeah, there's maybe a few hippos and ducks out there. I'm not gonna say who's who in the bed, but yeah. So you're gonna have a difference in terms of the angle and the lay of the mattress because of that. So the firmer the mattress, the better. And with memory foam, the good thing about that is the whole mattress doesn't move. So if one person's on one side, it's not going to affect the other person on the other side. And it does shape to your body. So where there's more pressure, it will, you know, it's going to give more. And what that allows, it allows the spine to stay in a straight position. So the best position to lay in is on your side, really. The problem is the worst position, so we'll go to, is your front. The reason being, if you lay on your front, your lower back overarches, which compresses the lower discs and part of your spine. You can't lay with your head flat, you know, down the middle, because you'll rotate to one side. Then what usually happens is one arm will come up on that side and the leg will come up. So you'll be like the running man, as you can imagine, that kind of posture, which hopefully doesn't sound too familiar to too many people. And then imagine if you put a pillow there as well, you're putting the neck in extension. So we're rotating and extending the spine. Now let's say you're in bed 6, 7, 8 hours in that position. You know, a lot of people get up in the morning and they feel absolutely rubbish and it takes them a long time to get moving. Well, no wonder that, you know, you spend a third of your life in bed. If it's in that bad position, it's going to cause, you know, a lot of neck, spinal, joint problems. The best position on the side, and we fairly firm mattress. We want one pillow, but quite a large pillow that your head's in a neutral position. Now, when we say large pillow, this depends on your shoulder width, because some people have got more narrow shoulders and some got, you know, larger shoulders. So this is why, I mean, we don't normally get adjustable pillows. So we actually have got a pillow that we supply here, which is adjustable, so you can get it the right height, so your head's not tilting too far down or too far up, and it just keeps it in that neutral position. Another thing is we don't want the knees bent upwards, because again, we're in this flex position. In previous episodes, we talk about, you know, people, you know, getting up, driving to work, sitting at a desk, sitting on a sofa. So imagine then you get into bed and you're in this fetal position, you're still in the same flex position. So the muscles are staying in this shortened position. So you actually want to try and straighten your legs out. But, you know, not bolt straight, so you can have a little bit of a bend in the knee. Another thing you do is put a pillow in between the knees, especially more for women, because women tend to have wider hips than men. So we call this the Q angle, where the hip will drop, well, the knee will drop down from where the hips are aligned, whereas men tend to be more straight down. So especially women, if you're getting hip, knee issues, back issues in bed, try putting a pillow between your knees, which can really help support your pelvis and your lower back. So they're the key tips, really, for sleeping position.
And should you, if you're changing your pillow or changing the position of your pillow, should you be ideally changing your mattress at the same time? Or
yeah, ideally. I mean, mattresses wear out as well. It's like your trainers, isn't it? They lose their spring. Yeah. So, you know, after about 5, 6 years, I think you should be looking at changing your mattress. And I know some of them you can turn around and things like that, which help. But, you know, like I say, you spend a third of your life in bed. So don't think of it as an expense, more an investment. We talked about how it affects, you know, energy levels, you know, healing, digestion. So, you know, getting a good mattress and a good pillow is an investment in your health.
And in your opinion, Jason, what do you determine as a good night sleep? Because we all know, you know, we are different. Some people can survive on very little sleep. Other people talk about, oh, I need at least 8 hours every night. So what is a good night's sleep?
Well, it's interesting you said survive, and I think we shouldn't be trying to survive, but we should be trying to thrive. And I always try and get in bed for 10. I'm up at 5:30, and for me, that's I try to do a workout before coming to work. You know, I'm on my feet all day, physical job, and I find that's enough sleep for me, where I'm thriving. And I know, you know, when I do have less than that, you know, I've got 3-year-old and she's up, and I am more surviving then. It's like you say. It's important, you know, for that individual, and I think it does depend on your working day, you know, how much load you have. I think people do struggle. Let's say they're sat at a desk all day. I think this can be a lot to do, and we can talk about what you shouldn't do before you go to bed, actually. But probably a good time to talk about screen time, because if you're looking at a screen all day, they talk about the blue light and the stimulation. And a lot of people, they'll have their phones next to their bed as well, and they're flicking through social media, and that stimulates, you're getting rapid eye movement and you're getting stimulation through the optic nerve to the brain, and you're putting all these images and ideas into the brain, and then you're telling it, right, we're off to sleep. And it's very difficult for it to do that, because again, those images that you're looking at can evoke emotions, which what create hormones. We're talking about cortisol. So we actually should be trying to wind the body down, you know, before, you know, that half an hour before you go to bed. So you want less stimulus. That's why we go into a quiet, dark room to kind of reduce the stimulus to the brain. So the brain kind of knows that, okay, we're closing down, we're shutting down, we're going to go into that deep, restful sleep. Because otherwise you're just in that light state of sleep. So you may have several hours in bed, you know, kind of 8 hours in bed, but you never actually go into a deep quality sleep. And the organ that uses the most energy in the body is the brain. And they've shown when it goes into a deep sleep, talks about, got a bit deep here, but it talks about deep sleep in terms of hertz and brain waves. So it's shown when you go into that deep sleep, it's a lower brainwave activity, which uses a lot more, less energy. So because you're using less energy, you then use more energy towards digestion, cellular repair, you know, healing in the body. So that's why it's so important that we try and really switch off, go into a proper deep sleep. And this is about, again, how it impacts stress levels as well, because you'll find you've got high levels of stress, as you know, you can't sleep. And you're running those scenarios round in your head, aren't you? You're thinking about the next day or something that happened that day and what you should have done and what you should have said. And yet, and these scenarios are going round, and you keep, it's almost like they're happening. So your body keeps producing those stress hormones. So I think a lot of people get stuck in that pattern. And when they come in and they see us and we start adjusting their nervous system and we start removing that tension, we change their hormone levels. So then they're able to get into that deep sleep. So a lot of them, it's a bit like, you know, PTSD. They've shown that they've been put into a highly stressful environment for a long period of time. And it's almost like the accelerator pedal gets stuck on and they can't apply the brake. And this is exactly the same with a lot of people with their lifestyles, their work. They can't shut that off and then they can't go into a deep sleep. So it's again, that vicious cycle. And what we found is like chiropractic care is a bit like the reset button, where we start to calm down the nervous system. And that's why we can see so many people when we do the reassessments and they fill in the questionnaire of what changes. Usually the most common thing that changes is they get better quality of sleep, but it's neurological, it's understanding. It's not just about, yeah, your mattress, your pillow is important, but the state of your nervous system is crucial as well.
And do you find with those people who do say, I'm starting to get a better night's sleep, you know, and you've been adjusting them for several weeks, maybe a few months, does it then start to fall into place that the things that we were mentioning in the last podcast, like headaches, migraines, maybe low libido, IBS is one case you'd experience, is it all interlinked or...?
Yeah, we usually find, I mean, don't get around, there's different reasons why people have all different problems from sleep to digestion. But if it's related to their body in a state of stress, which is very common, you see that one area starts to improve, like say their sleep function gets better, then like you say, they're producing less cortisol. And then because of that, their blood pressure goes down, their insulin levels, you know, they start craving less fats and sugars, because when we're in this stressed state and we're not sleeping, we need more energy. What are we drinking? Coffee. You know, we're more caffeine, we're more sugar. We find that when that's dealt with, they don't crave those foods. So they start eating what? Proper, wholesome foods. They have more energy. They want to exercise more. So you can see how it can be a catalyst for so many other things. And you can say, well, that's really an idealistic viewpoint. But it's what we see over and over and over again, is like the body just needs a little push in the right direction. And then it'll start doing what we're designed to do. This is the thing, is we're designed to be healthy. Designed to sleep well. A lot of people think, I'm just not good at sleeping, I'm just not, you know, good at exercising, or I just have bad, it's just me, I'm broken. Or actually, no, there's a reason why, and it's trying to, you know, inspire people, teach people how to get back into that pattern, and just to have, you know, say, I want people to have the same quality of life I have, my family have, and I know there's a way of doing that without, you know, it's really sad when I get someone coming in that are quite young and they list off all the symptoms they've got, but also the medication they're taking. You know, so they're on, you know, sleeping tablets, amitriptyline, and they're on, you know, anti-inflammatories, they're on antacids, and they're on all these different different medications, and none of them is actually getting them better. It's not treating, it's not dealing the cause of it, it's not getting them back into balance. So, you know, we like to really look, well, what's out of balance? Is it their work life, their family life, their stress levels, their sleep? You know, how can we shift them to a better state of health, what we call homeostasis? And all of that is run through the central nervous system. So we find when that is not, you know, if the system that's running, the computer, the wiring's all faulty, you're never going to get a body that's going to be functioning well. So that's the angle that we kind of look at it. Now, we're not saying there's not other reasons why people get those issues, but I always say, well, start with what's running it in the first place, try and get that working optimal, and then we can build from there. And then you can start saying, okay, let's start introducing a better diet, let's start introducing a better exercise regime. But first of all, let's you know, remove some of the stress interference, start to get those better habits, functions back into the body, and then we can kind of build and progress from there.
And how much of a correlation is there, Jason, in your experience and the people who you see, between poor exercise, low level of exercise, and that rubbish sleep at night?
Because again, we were talking about the average working person, you know, get up, drive to work, you know, no exercise, sit at a desk, and then they're tired, aren't they? They're going to come home, they sit on the sofa, and they're exhausted, and they've done nothing all day. You know, like I say, I get up in the morning, I exercise, I've got a physical job, you know, I'm really thankful for that. I get to bed, and I'm ready to go to sleep, you know, and I sleep, I put my head on a pillow, and then I wake up in the morning. You know, people say, oh, I'm you know, so jealous of that, but I can't see any other way, because, like you say, I've physically worked hard. Our bodies and then ready to recover and to sleep, you know. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, because they, like you say, they're not really exercising throughout the day. They've got high levels of stress. They're eating all the wrong foods, like say high caffeine, high sugar. So their hormonal balance is all out, you know, all out the whack. And then when they go to bed, the brain's not thinking, oh, it's time to rest and recover, because it has no idea what's going on with the body. So I think, yeah, getting the body, you know, we talked about getting good patterns and routine, and I think, you know, we any parent knows with their child and their baby, what you teach, you know, they teach you right away, get them in routines, eat at this time, get them, you know, to bed, bath them, and our bodies are the same. It's all about patterns and rhythms and, you know, hormone release, but we've got this all out of sync. You know, some people say, oh, I can't sleep, and they're up till gone midnight looking at screens, and then they think their brain's just going to shut off and go to sleep, and then they're lying in, you know, they're not waking up when their alarm's going off, and then they do get out of bed and they're still exhausted, even though they've spent just as much time in bed as I do, but then they're not getting good quality deep sleep. So like you say, it's not just a quick, oh, this pillow is going to sort out your problems, or this mattress is going to cure everything, because it isn't. And like you say, those quick fix adverts and things like that, or you know, you see all the different matches on, oh, this will cure it. It's not going to, you know.
All the time. Pop-ups on Facebook.
Yeah.
When I'm looking at Facebook late at night and I should be sleeping.
Yeah.
Because I'm sat here listening to you thinking, yeah, we all do that, don't we? We've got a little one. My wife and I, we talk about, we've got to get Eva into a better routine. We must focus on a routine whilst forgetting our own routine and getting to the end of the day thinking, oh, I'll just have a look at this. I'll just go on my phone one last time and then busy mind. So if there's somebody listening right now and they're struggling with their sleep pattern for whatever reason, they've got stress going on, they've got bad digestion, that kind of thing, how can you guys step in and help that individual?
Yes, we can certainly get you in. We can have a good chat over the phone. If you want to have a full assessment in the clinic, we can look at the nervous system. The great thing about the nerve scans is we can pick up things like cortisol. We talked about that. We do a test where it looks at your heart rhythms, your skin temperature, how much sweat you're producing. So it's the same technology as a lie detector test, but this will look at, you know, it'll see those imbalances. And if you're in the body's in what we call fight or flight sympathetic dominance or parasympathetic. So we can assess exactly where that person's physiology is. And by looking at the history, looking at the posture, we can see where to start first and start shifting back towards better health, giving a plan of action. And we'll also straight away, we'll give you exercises, stretches. We've got We'll put a link as well and what's the ideal sleep position, pillows, mattresses, so we can put that with the podcast as well in the article, so we can give you some sound advice that you can start doing straight away.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jason O'Connor, as ever, for your time. And I thank you, too, for listening to the O'Connor Chiropractic Podcast. I hope what some of the things that Jason has said has maybe helped you think about how you can improve getting better sleep, or maybe taking the first steps into seeing somebody like Jason. And already it's scary to think that people are starting to talk about Christmas now, but this time of year, we all start to get a little bit worried about making sure that we're in good health come party season. So in the next podcast, we're going to be chatting about the immune system, aren't we? And how chiropractic care can go a long way into getting you into that better state of health.
Yes, so we're going to talk about the immune system, how we're going to boost it naturally, lots of different things, that supplements and things you can take, and lifestyle changes to really get that immune system optimum for this time of year, or any time of year, really.
Well, we look forward to that. We hope you can join us. Thank you again. You can listen to the podcast in the usual places where you get your podcasts from, and also on the website of the radio station. It's yourharrogate.co.uk.